If you've been with us last week, we started, it's going to be a shorter series, but it's going to be on parenting. It's going to be on the blended family. It's going to be on what I'm seeing more and more to be the endangered species, and that's the family. Families attacked from all directions. There are so many people who are spending their life and investing all that they have in trying to see it destroyed. There seems to be more and more confusion about what a family looks like. It's being redefined. It's being completely remodeled. And so this is an incredibly important study from God's Word. Now, I know I can see it in some of your faces. There's this huge sigh of relief. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with that. But I just want to remind you, as I have to remember myself, if you are a parent, you're always a parent. You don't ever give up the responsibility. And I'll be honest with you, there's times when I feel like parenting is more difficult after our kids have left the nest. It's harder to connect. It's harder to have those teachable moments. You have to be deliberate and you have to work to create the opportunities where you can sit with or ride with or walk with one of your children, and without all of the other parts of their life spinning around them, to just talk, try to encourage them with many things, but so often it's about their walk with the Lord. For those of you that have never parented, that might change, or it's also possible that God might bring someone into your life that will look to you as a mentor. We'll look to you for advice and wisdom. And instead of just saying, well, sorry, I can't help you. I've never parented before. If you'll hang with us during the course of these next couple of weeks, I really do believe God will give you information that will not only encourage, but will bless those that you speak to. And so if you'll remember last week, we just wanted to start off with just kind of a reminder of what children really are from God's Word. This is what they are. They are blessing, reward. What is it that Psalm says? It says that in Psalm 127 and 28, we're given like four different things. And let's jump to that next slide where we're just going to see what they are. They're a heritage. They're a reward. They are like arrows. They are like sprouting olive trees that just spring up all around the table. One of the things that we really try to focus on here at Centerpoint is this family ideal, this family model, which means that from time to time we jump into topics like this that are designed more for the family, even though your family might not look like a traditional family. Your kids might be gone. You might have no children or grandchildren around you at all. Yours might be a blended family. Maybe you've adopted some, and there's a whole different dynamic for you. One of the things we want to do here is to encourage you. It's amazing what's available out there, the resources that are being developed on a weekly basis to help us in our roles as parents. And so I just wanted to kind of take this opportunity to let you know that we are going to start a parenting class, a blended family class, a little bit later in June. June the 16th, we're going to kick off this study. It's 8 weeks long. It's going to meet at 9 in the morning. And I know that for some of you, that's not your favorite time on Sunday. But I just want to encourage you, please, please make the effort to come. Make the effort to be a part of this class. I have talked with many, many, many parents over the course of my ministry years. I have never yet heard a parent say, well, you know what? I did a perfect job. I made no mistakes. In fact, more than likely what I hear is, oh, I wish I could go back and do it again. Now, not every parent says that, but every parent does say, if I could, I know that I could do a better job. And it's because of all the lessons that we learn along the way. And so one of the things that we offer because of our gathering as a family is we offer the opportunities as often as we can to get together with others who have walk the road before, and to do a study, to watch videos, to talk about and discuss God's word in such a way as that it will encourage you and it will enable you to not make the mistakes that we made along the way. And the bottom line is that your parenting experience will be much richer. It will be more positive. And our prayer is that there will be fewer times of tears and more times of laughter. Before we kick this series off, we're going to show one of the most recent films put out by the Kendrick brothers. And we're going to show it on Friday night. I think that's the 12th. Here at the church. It's open for everybody. Don't have to be a parent. Don't have to be a prospective parent. Not just for church members, but invite anybody and everybody that you want to come and to watch this movie that's called Like Arrows. And just kind of as a teaser, I wanted to play the trailer for you this morning to give you a taste, a flavor of what this course will all be like as we watch this trailer together. There's some sound on that, Bob.
Okay, maybe a little bit.
We got this thing outnumbered. It's two grown-ups against one
little bitty baby.
We got this.
Ronnie. His name is Ronnie.
When it comes to raising kids, the days are long, but the years are short.
Short enough, if you ask me.
Tonight we need to talk about Kate. She was, I guess, hitting other kids in church yesterday.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Great. I'm so glad you're interested in your kids' lives.
Honey, the only reason that Kate is still here is because she is too young to leave.
You know what? This is going nowhere.
Sit down!
Just leave me alone!
And she's falling right after Ronnie.
Put me up sometime.
Bye, Mom.
We have two more coming up after her.
She's not your real mom anyway. Your real mom couldn't handle you.
And they're gonna follow right after her. Honey, we have got to get help.
Our kids aren't the problem. It's us, man. You can't run around living life one day at a time. You gotta know where you're going. Then lead.
Here we go.
That will be your legacy. It's no legacy, your faithful love.
You just have to remember, our job is to be faithful. Change is up to God.
One of my favorite lines from that trailer, as well as from the movie, is, "The days are long, but the years are short." And boy, that sums up parenting. And so this morning, we want to jump right back in where we left off. And I'd like to invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Probably the most often quoted verse on fathers and mothers and children and their relationship, whatever it might be. 22:6 just simply says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And maybe you're one of those parents that have claimed that verse because you have children that have wandered from the Lord. Maybe you're one of those parents that you're facing the possibility that as your children grow up, that they are not going to hold dear the values, the beliefs, the relationship with the Lord that you do. This verse has been so misunderstood and so confused. And as I was reading this week, one commentator just said, if this verse really does mean that if you take your children to church and you pray before meals, that even though they walk away from the Lord, at some point before they die, maybe on their deathbed, with their last breath of life, they will repent and come back to the Lord. And this commentator said, and that's really what this promise is. Boy, that's a sorry promise. That's not what we want for our children. But there's so much more that's in this promise. And so this morning, I just want to tear it apart with you. I want to look at the words. I want to look at what it is that God is offering. Now, we understand this is not an ironclad promise that we get to use to hold God hostage, to get things to work out the way that we want them to work out. This is a statement of general truth that if A equals A and B equals B, then C is going to equal C, generally speaking. And yet this promise, when you understand what it's really saying, is so much richer. It's so much better than that promise that your child will come back one day. So let's jump right into it. Train up a child in the way he should go. And even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up. The noun of that Hebrew word refers to the palate. It refers to the gums. It refers to the area inside the mouth. Now, that's a weird connection to make right out of the gate with the word train, because we don't think of training this way. But you need to understand that because that's the root word, that's where the verb form comes from, that this was a verb that was very often used to describe what a midwife does to a newborn baby. That she would rub her finger in crushed dates, something sweet, and she would begin to massage the gums and the roof of the mouth of the newborn baby in order to do exactly what you are assuming I'm going to say, to create the sucking action, to prepare that baby for nursing. And that's exactly the picture that we as parents need to understand. That is what we've been called to do. It is to stimulate our children to have a thirst for God, to have a thirst for things that are important spiritually. Now, that is as idyllic a scene as you can imagine, right? A newborn baby cuddled in the arms of mom, massaging, rubbing, creating that suction. Now, that's a beautiful picture. But that verb is also used to describe something that's not quite so beautiful. But it does represent the other side of the coin. And that is a verb that's used to talk about what it takes to break a horse. It's the act of literally putting the rope, we would say the bit, into the horse's mouth in order to bring them into submission, right? To break them. It's not to destroy them. It's not to turn them into a robot. It's simply to bring them to the place where they are willing to live kind of under the authority of another. And in that position, with that spirit, to be able to live from the horse's perspective, I'm guessing happy, enjoyable, to fulfill the role that they were created to fulfill. I've never been around horses a lot, but knowing the people that have and talking with them, there is a relationship, there is a friendship between the rider and the horse. And it's more than just, well, I will move if you get on and spur me until I do. There's much more of a relationship where, at least most of the time, I'm going to assume the horse gives the impression he's enjoying what's going on. The chance to be together, the chance to move together, the chance to explore together. Man, train up, when you put that in the context of parenting, reminds us that it is our privilege, it is our honor, but it is our responsibility to do everything in our power to so massage and work and stimulate and encourage and lead and guide our children, first and foremost, into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. To bring that child into submission to God, in order that he or she might be able for all the days of their life to enjoy a relationship with God that brings joy and contentment and peace and satisfaction and purpose. and all of that just in train up. Well, let's move on. What's a child? A generic term, not really anything special. So just remind yourself, a child is any age between birth and the marriageable age. You know, in New Testament times, that could be easily mid-teens. In our day and in our culture, it seems like more and more it's pushing 30 before a person arrives at the age that they're really interested in marriage. But you would use the word child to define anybody in that age group. Moving on to the next word, old. Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. What does it mean to be old? This is a word that its root just comes from the word beard or chin. And so we might say that when a child reaches the age where he can grow facial hair, then he would no longer be considered young. Again, in the Jewish culture, you know, bar mitzvah at 13, you know, probably many 13-year-olds have trouble growing facial hair, but they're still recognized at that age as being a son of the law. They're responsible for their own relationship with God and understanding his word. And so in our culture, we would say, you know, those years as you finish high school, as you enter into those post-high school years, you are old in the sense that you are mature enough that you can grow facial hair. But now we come to really more of the just the key words in this. And one of those key words is the word in. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So train up a child in, according to, in keeping with, in cooperation with the word that's to follow. And so this is revealing a relationship that this child needs to be stimulated, encouraged, led, guided, directed, all with that tender massaging of the gums to create a thirst for, a hunger for what? And this is my favorite part of this entire verse, the way. We are commanded in Scripture to train up our children according to the way he should go. Now, instantly, those of you that have raised children will say, well, all of my children had their way. I mean, they were pretty clear what they wanted. They were pretty clear when they wanted it, and they were pretty clear what happened when they didn't get it. That's not the way we're talking about. That way is called the old nature. That way is called what we are all born with. But Scripture's not saying that we need to just encourage that. We don't need to encourage that. That's the very thing that we need to lead them out of, direct them out of. And yes, sometimes we need to persuade them that they need to come out of that. That selfish way. That way that's all about them and about nobody else. This way is a fascinating study because of the other ways in the Old Testament that this word is translated. One of those is Psalm 11:2. And again, this verse is not necessarily lending any support to what we're talking about, but you've got to see how the word way is used, okay? Behold, the wicked bend their bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. And you're saying, well, there is no way in that verse. Yeah, there is. It's just not translated way. It's translated bend. Same word used in this context talks about the bending of the bow, or the way that the bow is bent. Another passage similar to that, back a few chapters in 7. If a man doesn't repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared him for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Kind of a threatening verse, kind of a scary verse. But now it's talking about God bending his bow. This is a way of describing literally the pathway, the roadway of a young man or a young woman. His characteristics, what makes him young. Sometimes we might call it his predisposition towards something. We see it in our children as we begin to observe gifts and talents, right? I mean, even for some of our children at a very young age, we notice they're really musical or they're very athletic. Now, all of the kids demonstrate when they're younger that they're selfish and they can be mean-spirited. They can be hurtful. They can be very, very human. And that's different. I mean, you still struggle with that, right? I still struggle with that. That's part of that curse. That's part of that old nature that we are all born with. But the other things that you see, the things that give you hope, and, right, and give promise that your child has, and I don't want to say a marketable skill, but what I do want to say is they have something that makes them unique. They have something that encourages them as they're entering into adulthood. I mean, you find yourself looking at that child and going, you know what? You need to keep that. You need to work on that. You need to develop that because that is a gift from God. That is the way. That's their bending. We would say that's the way that they're bent. And something that so many parents miss out on today, and it seems like with fewer and fewer parents, generally speaking, who even consider the Word of God to be a manual for raising children, more and more parents miss this. And they just feel like, you know what, we have children, we'll kind of do life together. When things get really out of hand, we'll step in, but otherwise we're just, you know, we'll kind of just let our children kind of just grow and develop without a lot of input from us. And come on, let's be honest. Is that not at least a possible reason why we are seeing more and more of what we're seeing in society today? More and more children who have decided their really only option is either to kill themselves or to kill somebody else. Young people without purpose, without understanding what they're here for, without understanding that they were created in the image of God, in the image of Adam, and that they were given everything that they needed for a satisfying and successful life if they would just look for it and find it and develop it and hone it. And then use it. And that's the purpose, again, of a parent. A parent who is actively involved in the life of their children. Looking for, watching, trying to figure out, trying to help children figure out what it is. Correcting, lovingly giving guidance. You know, sometimes the most loving response that my father ever showed me was a few minutes in my bedroom, draped over my bed as my father was getting through to me, right? Kind of setting me up to learn, clearing the senses from all those other thoughts that were going through. And as he told me so many times, you know, you don't have to hit them a lot, but you just are watching for the time when they kind of finally give in. You know, it's submission. It's the same thing God does to me every day of my life now that I'm adult. I'm an adult. I don't get spanked a lot anymore. But sometimes I wish I could because the spanking was easier than resisting God to the point where he has to use a bigger stick. See, that's one of the privileges of parenting is to stimulate our children in such a way as to help them understand what it is that is their way. To help them find their bent. To help them find kind of their way in life. And so the Amplified Bible translates this verse, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Oh, friends, when your younger children realize how God has made them, when they begin to taste the success and the satisfaction and the encouragement that comes from seeing God use them or their gift to encourage others, to help others, to please others, to bless others, when they get this affirmation from other people, man, you are so good at this. That is awesome. I wish I could do that. And all the kinds of input that family members share, when they taste that, oh my goodness, they're not going to walk away from that. That's the honey of life. You know, many of us go through our entire adult life looking for that and still don't find it. If our children can taste it as children, they will have no reason to ever walk away from that. If they've learned first to submit to the Lord and understand that he's the giver of the gift, if they recognize his hand is the hand that's been feeding them and blessing them and using them, if they recognize that their real joy in life comes from working together with him instead of against him, they have every reason in the world to continue to walk with him. And as Eric reminds us so often, that's when you see the transfer, that child's faith is no longer just mom and dad's faith. No, it's their faith. And it makes no difference what mom and dad do for the rest of their life. They have found what brings them joy. They have found what fuels their fires. They have found the secret to a life that's fulfilling and purposeful. And the assurance from Scripture is once they taste that, they're never going to walk away from that. In fact, it's probably why Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." A child left to himself, literally untouched, untrained, undisciplined, unguided. A child who has no clue what it is he has to offer. He has never figured out his bent. I can remember, this has been decades ago, reading just a kind of a short article on orphans being raised in kind of the Soviet bloc countries. And because there was such a large number of orphans, not every orphan in the orphanage could receive the attention that a child needs. And this is what blew my mind. They said they found out the hard way that a child that is not touched or held or cuddled or given human interaction, literally will die. We can't survive without that touch. A child who doesn't know the touch of love and grace and mercy and patience and understanding from a parent will ultimately bring shame to mom and dad, to the family, to our society. And it helps me to so much better understand those young men and women that are hurting their peers. It's not that they're necessarily just bad people. It's that they have not been touched the way that God intends for children to be touched. I guess as I'm talking about bad people, can I just remind me that we were all born bad? We were all born with the imprint of Adam on us. We were all born to be selfish first and think of others only as a last resort. If you have any doubt about that, you need to volunteer to be in the nursery. You need to be in a place where this can be fleshed out on a regular basis. You know, one of the books I just so love, and I've read from it before, is Chuck Swindoll's book on the family. Came out in the 80s. It was published the year of our last son's birth. And I have I have gone to this book so many times for insight, for direction, for help, sometimes just for humor, to be able to laugh at what I'm getting ready to cry about. And there's just a couple little paragraphs in here that I just found fascinating again this week as I was reading, talking about the fact that we are all fallen sinners. This is Dr. Albert Siegel that just, he posted this little paragraph in a newspaper. And he says, when it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarism. 20 years is all we have to accomplish the task of civilizing the infants who are born into our midst each year. These savages know nothing of our language, our culture, our religion, our values, our customs of interpersonal relations. The infant is totally ignorant about communism, fascism, democracy, civil liberties, and the rights of the minority as contrasted with the prerogatives of the majority. Or respect, decency, honesty, customs, conventions, and manners. The barbarian must be tamed if civilization is to survive. I mean, this is 30 years plus old. And yet look how it's almost prophetic in what we're seeing going on around us. Another paragraph put out in the Minnesota Crime Commission. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He's completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants, when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny these and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. This means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. You see, our problem in America today is not necessarily video games. It's not necessarily violent TV. It's not necessarily any of those things, even though I'm convinced they do contribute. Do you know what the real problem in America is today? It's what you heard them say in the trailer. It's us, guys. We're the problem. We are the problem. We don't have the determination. We don't have the willingness. We don't have the resolve. We don't have the relationship with Jesus Christ that we need to step in and make a difference. And I know I've said this once, if I've said it a million times to families, to parents, you can outlast them. You are smarter than they are. Don't give in. Don't back down. Lovingly, gently, patiently apply whatever discipline device you have decided is God-breathed and God-approved to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. But don't back down. Because if you do, you become part of the problem. And that problem is summed up in this study. The father of Jonathan Edwards was a minister, and his mother was the daughter of a clergyman. Among their descendants were 14 presidents of colleges, more than 100 college professors, more than 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 60 physicians, more than 100 clergymen, missionaries, and theology professors, and about 60 authors. There is scarcely any great American industry that has not had one of his family among its chief promoters. Such is the product of one American Christian family, reared under the most favorable conditions. Now, by comparison, the contrast is presented in the Jukes family, which could not be made to study and would not work, and is said to have cost the state of New York $1 million. Their entire record is one of pauperism and crime, insanity and imbecility. Among their 1,200 known descendants, 310 were professional paupers. 440 were physically wrecked by their own wickedness. 60 were habitual thieves. 130 were convicted criminals. 55 were victims of impurity. Only 20 learned a trade, and 10 of these learned it in a state prison. This notorious family produced 7 murderers. See, that's what's in the balance. That's what's really on the table. If our country fails to exist as a free nation, it's not going to be because of who's president. It's only going to be because we as parents have abandoned the privilege that God has entrusted to us. How is it that we're supposed to figure out the bent of our child? Well, Proverbs 20 says this: even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Parents, how do we figure it out? We watch and we listen. We spend time with our children, not yelling at them, not screaming at them, not telling them how worthless they are, not dreaming about what life will be after they're gone. I watched just a news clip, been a couple weeks ago, where they put a mom in a room with the toddler, and they were playing together. And at a certain point in time, the mom was required to take out her phone and look at it for 2 minutes. Regardless of what the child did or said, she had to be engrossed in the phone for 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. And to watch those children was unbelievably educational. Some of them just got louder and louder and louder and started doing whatever it took to trump what mom was doing. Some children almost instantly just stopped what they were doing and sat down because they had learned the best ways to just wait for mom to finish what she was doing. You see, everything that we call technology is not an advancement, is not a help, is not a gift. One of the many things that we as parents today have to learn to control, or it will control us. Can I say it will be part of the destruction of our family? If you're not looking, if you're not listening, if you're not engaged, you're going to miss what your child needs, maybe more out of you than anything else, is to help them figure themselves out. I remember reading this not too long ago. God did not give us a chunk of stone and ask us to carve out a child. He gave us a complete, gifted, talented, thinking, total person that he equipped to be a choice vessel in his hands for the accomplishment of a God-ordained task in life. God wired that child himself. He created him for a specific purpose. And friends, you might not nail it on the first go-round with that child. You might not know by the time they're 10 or 12, or maybe 20 or 22. But your privilege is to help them figure out who they are and why they're here and what God has created them to accomplish. Which means that this is going to be an unbelievably wild ride. It means that you are going to embark on a discovery process with them that's not easy, and it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for someone who has a very short attention span or someone who's preoccupied. It means you're going to do things you don't like to do, to buy things that don't get used very much. It means you're going to listen to half-baked ideas that don't make much sense. It means you're going to have to pray and watch and listen and experiment with academic areas and hobbies and sports and fine arts in order to help your child discover his or her bent, the way that God made them, the way that God wired them. And then you have to help them develop that. The absolute worst thing that you and I can do for our children is to not help them figure out who they are, why God put them here, what it is they have to offer. And that none of that outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be anywhere close to being as rewarding as it will be with him. And parents, this is the hardest thing to say to me, to say to you. How is it that you help your children figure that all out? How is it that a child learns what submission to God looks like? It happens in the preacher's home just as exactly the way it happens in your home, by watching their parents submit to God. You might have the best theology in the world. You might know Scripture better than anybody in your class. But if your children can't watch you submit to God, they're going to miss it. If they can't watch you love God, they're going to miss it. If they can't watch you talk to God and speak to God and bring God into everything, and that's really what we're going to look at, Lord willing, next week, is living your life intentionally for the sake of your children. If they can't witness it, they're not going to catch it. Because these are many of the principles that are caught, not taught. Sometimes it almost seems that trying to teach them these principles causes resistance and resentment and rebellion. And so many parents just stop trying because they feel like all I'm doing is picking a fight. No more than anything else, your children need to watch you on your knees before the Lord. They need to watch you putting God first in all your decisions. They need to watch you being willing to be wronged and taken advantage of, because that's what Scripture says in that situation is the best response. And if you're not willing to live it, then can I just say that apart from the grace of God, your kids don't have a prayer. Because our world is filled with kids that have grown up in a religious setting where they go to church every week and they pray before meals. And as soon as they graduate from high school, what do? They leave home and they leave God. And many of them come back years later and their lives are a wreck and a shambles. And that's wonderful that they come back. But the reason they left in the first place was because they never saw the reality of what life with God really looks like. The movie that will be showed in a couple of Friday nights from now is a great first step to encourage you in this journey, to offer you some hope. It deals with reality, but it gives hope. It answers some of those questions. It fleshes out a little bit how. How do we do this? And for those of you that are especially right now in the throes of parenting, whether they're newborns or teenagers, or even for those whose children maybe are long gone, this movie would be an encouragement that there is nothing that is still not possible by the grace of God in response to the prayers that you send every day to the throne in behalf of your children. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And oh, what a life he will live. Oh, what joy she will know because of the relationship with Jesus Christ that you have modeled for them. That's the first step, and that's the most important step. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious, precious gifts that you have placed within our care. And oh, for so many of us, we would love to go back and do a better job. And we know that we failed our children, but Lord, I pray that there would be no one here this morning who would be content to continue to fail them. Lord, the changes that need to be made in our personal lives, oh, give us grace to make those, to confess and lay aside our sin that is destroying our families, our marriages, our relationships. Lord, for the hobbies or the pastimes or literally just the habits that we have formed in our life that take us away from involvement with our children or away from the study of your word or the study of subjects like blended families and parenting, relationships. Lord, whether it's the phone or the iPad or the TV, whatever it is, Lord, that we would put it aside, that it would no longer contribute to the failure of our children because of our unavailability. And Lord, whatever else might be a part, is it fear, uncertainty, not knowing what to do, how to do it, even, Lord, how to start? Would you give us courage to try? Courage to ask help from a friend or from a pastor. Courage to get into a course that would build us up in this privileged responsibility. So that, Lord, the day might come when our children leave home, but they don't leave you. And instead of breathing a sigh of relief when they go off to college, we shed tears of joy, knowing that they are prepared to face the future because of their relationship with Jesus. Lord, would you bless our families? Would you make them what you created them to be? And would you do whatever is necessary to us to prepare us to be what our children desperately need us to be? We love you. We're so grateful for the promise that you alone can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. You alone can bring good out of disaster. And so regardless, Lord, of where we are this morning with our parenting, with our blended families, whatever it is that we call family, we commit that into your hands. And we pray that you would do above and beyond all that we possibly could even think to ask for, simply because we are willing to submit to you and to do our best to follow your lead. Dismiss us with your blessing. Lord, give us a great day, a great rest of the week. May we see you at work in our hearts and in our families in the days ahead. And Lord, we'll give you the honor, the glory, the praise for all that you will do. And we'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.